Hey guys, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. One, it's free. Two, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many others. Four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And five, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. It is so stinking easy. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You will not be disappointed.
All right. Welcome, everyone. This is Brian, your host of the Perish the Thought Show, and I'm on today with Dan Berkey. Am I saying?
Yep.
And you are my first guest ever.
And, awesome.
Dan is a business owner coming to us from Laurel, Montana, father of two, husband of one, I assume.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. So, well, let's just get right into it. I just basically, you know, want to hear your story, you know, where you've come from, how you've come to be where you're at, what keeps you up at night.
Well,
stuff, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Sounds good. I grew up in South Tucson, Arizona. Been quite a few places. Kind of a cliche story. Started off in the bottom, and you know, if people looked at me now, you know, they probably would say I'm still kind of in the bottom, but, you know, work in progress, you know. I have my regular 9-to-5 job still. At the same time, I'm also trying to, grow an exterior cleaning business. So,
you know,
moved up. What brought me up to Montana is I was actually before I moved up to Montana, I was going through some issues, a lot of personal issues, to the point where I was actually in a homeless shelter for a while. And my mom had actually followed a minor up to Montana. And so she wasn't doing so good. She was in and out of the hospital a lot. Seeing that on my side where I was, I wanted to be up here, make sure she was taken care of. So I actually ended up in Texas for a little bit. And so from Texas, I ended up here taking care of my mom, in and out of the hospital for a while. She's doing better now. She's actually looking to move back down to Arizona, get away from this crazy cold weather. But yeah, that's how my start ended up being. On my way up to Montana, I actually met my wife now, and been up here for, I want to say, pretty close to 15 years. And we've,
that makes you a native.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, it's actually, well, I suppose probably more like 12 years, but close enough, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's counting, right?
So yeah, here I am. You know, I got myself out of some rough times and started working, doing construction. I was a fire sprinkler fitter for quite some time, licensed. I did it for 9 years now, been doing it for 9 years, still am. But I'm looking to get out of it. And the whole reason why I started up the whole Mobile Grime Control LLC, which is the name of my exterior cleaning business, was to actually be home with my family some more. I have two wonderful boys, and just watching them grow up from a distance is very tiresome. So As much as I love my job now, I'm looking to get out of it. And I'm hoping that this spring, with everything I've put into my company, I'll be actually able to walk away from being a fire sprinkler fitter. So that's where I'm at now.
So making that jump is going to be a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It has been. I actually, you know, took some time off between companies for a little bit there and actually tried to do it on my own. Did okay for a little while, and then winter set in completely. And then that's where I was like, you know, I got to look out for the best interest of my family. And so I went back to work doing fire sprinkler fitting until the weather clears up. So yeah. Yeah. It's uncomfortable, but I think, you know, so you got to start and you got to get into things knowing that you're going to have to jump. So, you know what I mean? So if I don't make that jump, I think it's one of those things where you'll know if you'll make it or not, if you can put yourself in a position where it's pretty scary. And if you can get yourself through that scary situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I've learned in the last few months that if we just give into our nature, we always just want to be comfortable. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's becoming like the phrase of the day with our culture, with our kids. Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. That's awkward. But I'm realizing that, you know, in those moments is when you're growing. I was heading to this little entrepreneur event up in Salt Lake the other day. And I was nervous. I was really nervous about going because that's not my crowd. That's what I've been telling myself my whole life. I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm a wantrepreneur because I want to be, but I didn't want to go. And I was trying to, my subconscious was coming up with all these stupid reasons why I shouldn't go there. Maybe the car will break down. Then I can have a legit excuse. And then I just said to myself, it's like, hell no, go to this because you are uncomfortable, period. And that's, you know, you've heard the phrase, you know, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I totally believe that now.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
If we get comfortable, you're not growing. If you think, compare it to like weightlifting, you know, if there's no resistance, there's no growth. I know these are cliche, but it doesn't make them untrue.
Right. Right. Totally. Yeah. And that's something I keep telling my two boys too. I don't think they've grasped it yet, but you know, I really believe that ever since we were, you know, kids, our whole life, we kind of get lied to, and people say it's hard. It's really hard. It's really hard. But honestly, I don't think it's hard. I don't think it's hard as long as you push yourself past to that point. You know, if you get to that point where you're almost past, but you're not quite past that point of being uncomfortable, then yeah, you're going to think it's hard because you're not pushing past it, you know?
Right. Well, I have this theory that, you know, whether you're religious or not, but God, he just kind of sits back and watches you struggle until you're about ready to throw in the towel. And then he blesses you.
Sure. Sure.
Cause if you just, you know, we pray for things to be easier and we hope things are easier. And years ago we had lost we had a design company and we got smacked hard in 2009, and it was a fatal blow to the company. And my wife and I were both working it and just busting our tails and lost it anyway. And she's like, when's life going to get easier? And I just had I heard the words in my head that says, it's not going to get easier. It's only going to get more difficult, but the challenge you're in now is preparing you for the next challenge. And had you not gone through this first challenge, this next challenge would probably have killed you. Sure. And that's just kind of, I wholeheartedly, you know, subscribe to that ideology now. And yeah, there's some days you're like, I just want a break. I just want to, you know, just, I want something handed to me today. But it's just, I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, definitely. And then, and that's just it. You know, So what I tell my boys on a daily basis is it's easy as long as you do, you know, just a handful of things. And I tell my kids, wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Don't wake up and lay there because you're not achieving nothing if you do. Wake up, get out of bed.
Right.
Figure out where you want to be at the end of the day and just work towards it. You know, I mean, to me, it's that simple. I mean, of course you have your challenges and you got to face your challenges but you get nowhere if you don't, you know? So.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, speaking of getting up, something I've started doing recently is just literally making my bed every day. As soon as I get up, I make it, because if it's messy, you almost want to crawl back into it. And I get up at like 4:30 or 5 every day, and it's so hard still. And I've been doing it for 4 months,
sure.
But it's so psychologically worth it. At the end of the day, I'm like, I beat the sun up, you know?
Yeah.
And it just gives you so much. It's a psychological win, which is where most of this game is played. You know, like I say, give me a mountain I can climb and I'll do that all day long without any problem. But, you know, change my behavior, my habits. That is a butt kicker sometimes.
Right.
Because we're conditioned. We've got, like you said, you know, we were lied to. And I don't know maybe if that's the right terminology. I think we were taught by people who didn't know any different, didn't know any better. I look at my father, and he did the best he knew how. And he was taught, and generations are taught that, oh, life is hard and, you know, things just struggle and you just got to survive. And that's all well and good, but it's just, I don't think that's enough anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's so much, each one of us has so much stinking potential to become so much greater than we are. And I think we all feel it. We just maybe don't know how to articulate it or put a package on it so we can understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I should touch on that a little bit, because I guess what I'm thinking is when I say we're always told that everything's hard, maybe what I'm thinking is, you know, if we just tell our kids or tell ourselves even that it's easy, then maybe it gets easy. You know what I mean? And we could get through those hard spots a lot easier.
Or we just become stronger to face it. You know, like there's a saying that says, you know, don't pray for the winds to calm or the storm to calm, but pray for the strength to endure it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've heard that.
I think. And it's, you know, all these, you know, cutesy, fuzzy feeling sayings, but man, they are, if you really just apply them, they're there for a reason, and they truly help us out, I think, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, yeah, that's awesome. The other day we were chatting about, I don't even know how it came up, but you started talking about the, you know, the blurred lines between needs and wants, and I wanted to maybe touch on that a little bit before we wrap up this episode.
Oh, definitely. And,
if you can, I don't, maybe you can refresh my memory on how that came about, but.
I think it was on a Facebook post, and we were.
Yeah.
What was it that we were talking about on that post?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm looking it up, but I don't know if I can find it or not, but.
Well, as far as like blurred lines goes on needs and wants, you know, there's a lot of different needs that there's a lot of things that we need, but then there's a lot of things that we think we need that we probably don't, like, you know, like you really don't need your cell phone while you're sitting on the toilet. That's not a need, but people will say that, you know, oh, I need my cell phone. You know what I mean? But okay, so that aside, but so, you know, when somebody's looking at a relationship, and I think I touched on this in that post actually, when somebody's looking at a relationship, whether it be a romantic relationship or a friendship, everybody always thinks the same thing. What can I get out of the other person? And I think that's a completely wrong way to think about it. So I think what we need to do is ask ourselves, what can we do for that other person? Because I want to, you know, be a friend, see something in return. But we need to think about the other person first.
Right.
So
I would agree.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a transactional thinking. And I used to go to these business networking events and I probably did it wrong for a long time, you know, just throwing my business card in people's faces and not being genuinely interested in them. And people can feel that. And when you're genuine and you truly give a crap about them and you're not interested in whether there's going to be a transaction or not,
mm-hmm.
then you win. And they feel that. And one of the entrepreneurs that I've been following recently is Gary Vaynerchuk. And I don't know if you've listened to him yet, but the guy is phenomenal. And he has that same philosophy. It's like, ask yourself, how can I help? How can I help this person? And he says he gives so much of his content away for free because he said he's building his brand, not so much as, you know, a product brand, but just his personal brand. And his personal brand is, this guy cares about people. And he personally responds to everything. And he's got like a million followers, a million subscribers. So, you know, you send an email to him and you might get a response in 6 months, but he responds because he says, I don't want to delegate. I can't delegate me. Whereas a lot of Hollywood and politicians probably have interns or other people, employees that respond as them. And I get why they do that. You know, the other day it was my birthday and I was going to try to respond to everyone who told me happy birthday. And I started doing it and it ended up being like 150 people. I think I did like half of it. And I'm like, this is exhausting. I'm not going to get any sleep,
right?
But I wanted to be genuine. So yeah, definitely good. No, I gave up. but I didn't want to. What a lot of people do is the following day, they'll say, thank you everyone for the birthday wishes. It's good to have friends. You know, they say something like that. It's kind of a canned response.
Right.
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm even hesitant to tell someone it's their birthday just because Facebook reminded me, because I didn't really care enough to know when their birthday was. Facebook had to remind me. So that's my philosophy behind that one.
Gotcha. Yep.
So, you know, but anyhow, no, it's if we just have that attitude of mutual understanding, and I think this is in conversation personally, this is conversation online where we can hide behind our anonymity to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote an article and did a video about, you know, the things you shouldn't talk about at family events. You know, it was like religion, politics, and money. And I've always thought that's really dumb. You know, why? And as I got older, I realized that those three topics animate most of us.
Yeah.
And if you come to that conversation with an attitude of, I'm just trying to understand versus I'm going to destroy you or try to sell you or win this competition, you know, then there's contention in it and it's over. You know, then it just becomes a battle of, oh, I can pull up 19 graphics and charts and infographics to support my story to destroy you versus maybe saying, well, how do you come to that opinion? Or how do you arrive at that position?
Right.
And just,
yeah.
And if we do that more, you know, we just don't do that. I mean, I have so many, you know, I'm primarily kind of a conservative thinker, and that's just kind of where my background has been. And it makes sense to me that I have a Facebook friend who I've never met in person, but he calls himself the liberal atheist geek. And we disagree on about 98% of everything. And I just think the ideas he likes are just wrong. And he thinks mine are. but he's not a bomb thrower. He's respectful and he does his homework and he helps me challenge my own or just, you know, understand my own position. But he's respectful about it. And so many of my conservative friends get on there and they get into a debate with him and he just destroys them. And they just start losing their minds and it becomes battle. And it's like, just be kind and,
right.
Ask, I don't know, just try to understand. And that we just don't do that enough. And I think we're sorely lacking in our world with that.
One of my best friends since I've moved up to Montana, I've known him for a lot of years, actually, him and his wife, me and my wife and my boys, we all believe in a higher power. I wouldn't necessarily call it religious, but we try to go to church on Sundays, do that whole kind of thing. Doesn't always work out, but anyway, my buddy and his wife are the complete opposite. I guess what you would call atheists. They don't believe in a higher power, but we've been best friends for a super long time. And we get each other. We have a lot of the same ideas, but when it comes to religion, that's something we don't see eye to eye on. But it's just one of those things where we don't bash each other's thinking on that. There's just no point. It's a waste of energy. It just makes people upset and angry. And as friends, you don't want to do that to each other. So
no.
We all listen to each other's ideas and then just move on. We don't have to like each other's ideas, but that doesn't mean we have to sit and bash each other for our ideas either.
No, I totally agree. My dad is very, very staunch conservative. And he even told me one day, he's like, hell, I won't even talk to a damn Democrat. And I said, well, Dad, then you are part of the problem, my friend.
Yeah.
I know you don't agree with their ideas, but to just dismiss somebody because they're a Democrat is you're missing out because that person could be your next best friend.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you just throw them under the bus, then, it's ridiculous. And that's how I look at, and just full disclosure, I'm LDS. And mm-hmm. We're a very missionary oriented church. And my philosophy is, hey, freaking just love your neighbor. Like Jesus said, love your neighbor. If he decides to join the club, great. If not, you have a new best friend. What's the downside to that?
Right. Yeah.
And it takes so much pressure off of trying to make that sale. I can't talk to him unless I make that hard sale and convince him that my way is the right way. It's ridiculous. And it's just, everyone doesn't have to be like us. In fact, down where I live, it's pretty homogenous and everyone is kind of the same, for the most part. And
yeah,
it gets a little old sometimes, but so anyway, well, Dan, I'm going to wrap this one up, but I want to do this again. I think you got a pretty good perspective on things, and we'll do it again and kind of see how it goes, and I'll see if I can get this recording out there, and then I'll link you to it. And but I appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts with me. And you have any? I'll give you the last word, as Bill O'Reilly says it sometimes.
Well, I just want to say thanks for having me on here. Definitely enjoyable to talk to somebody about views, whether they be the same or not, it's definitely good to have those kind of conversations. So I just want to say thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's been fun, and we'll do it again, and looking forward to meeting you in the flesh one day. I think I'm going to try to come up to see Big Fat Lunchbox one of these days.
Oh, definitely.
So have you been, before we wrap it up, have you been to his trailer, the food trailer?
Quite a few times now. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, Milo's a great guy, and his story is quite amazing too. I don't know how much of it you know, but I'm gonna try to interview him as well.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, I remember talking with you at one time, and you mentioning Milo's story, but I never knew what Milo's story was. So that'll be interesting to know his story.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can get him on here shortly, but it's pretty amazing. It's pretty inspiring, you know, because you could easily go back into just the security and the comfort and just have a kind of a average life. And he's killing it. It's killing him. It's tough, but he's doing it. And it's awesome. You know, I hand it to him and admire him for that. And so again, I appreciate you coming on, and thanks everyone for listening. Feel free to comment, share, tell us where you think we're wrong or right, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right, Dan. Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.